You are listening to ExecuViews, brought to you by Offutt Kerman Attorneys at Law, your perfect legal partner.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fisher. I'm the COO of Call Tracking Metrics.
Hi, I'm Todd Fisher. I'm the CEO of Call Tracking Metrics. Call Tracking Metrics is a phone system that provides marketing analytics into your phone system in a cloud-based as a cloud-based solution. So that means that for the advertiser or for the marketer, you can know that the particular dollars that you put into, say, AdWords versus television had a specific outcome in terms of call conversions. For the business that's operating a phone system that may be very complex, they may have multiple teams answering different types of phone calls, they can very easily configure this phone system and very easily keep an eye on how their agents are handling those calls. Be it summary reports at the end of the day or every hour or even real time during the day, they can look at what's going on with their phone systems so that they can know, they can react to, you know, is there a trend of support issues that they need to address before the day's over? Are there advertising channels that are outperforming or underperforming within the hour and make adjustments in the moment? That's what our software does. It is truly a unified phone system providing both the marketing and analytics as well as the operations for the phone tree.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting about it is as you look at, you know, we talked a little bit about how, you know, 20 years ago everybody thought kind of phone calls were going to, you know, die out, yeah, right, in terms of kind of how you think about engaging with customers, and it was going to all be all about these web-based, you know, channels like forms and emails and text messages and everything. But what people are finding is that the calls are even more precious, right? By the time someone calls you, let's take a plumber. By the time somebody calls a plumber, they've searched Google, they've searched Angie's List, they've researched this, and when they've made that call, they're ready to do something.
That's a sale.
It's a sale ready to happen, and yep, it's basically, you know, yours to mess up. Mm-hmm. And so getting that call not only answered fast, it used to be just, hey, how do I answer my phone calls really fast? But it's not just fast. It's how do I make sure, okay, this person is looking for a plumber and they live in this area, so they need to be mapped to a plumber I have right down the street from them. Mm-hmm. And maybe I know, based on the keywords they search, they're interested in fixing, you know, a toilet in their house. And so I know I should get the person on my team who's really good at talking about that on the phone with them and match them to the right person on my team. You can imagine how, you know, as the business is more complex, where you really need to make sure that somebody knows exactly what they're talking about. You know, you take a law firm, for example, how do you map, you know, based on what somebody searched, the area that they're looking for, to the right division in your company or the right geographic location? People are so impatient now, right? They are so busy, they are making that one phone call, they're not gonna call you back. So you gotta make sure you handle it right the first time. So that's all about what we're trying to do.
So how'd you two meet?
Oh, that's a good question. How did we meet, Laurie?
I know. What is this interview about?
I got totally lucky, and
that was my break to ice.
Oh yeah,
I like
our
it.
Our moms fixed us up.
They did,
yep,
fix us up.
Our mothers are best friends.
Yeah,
and we had never met each other before.
Yep. And your mom claimed that your dad didn't want to come to the party, and so then you came in his place, and then I was hungover, and somebody drove me from D.C. to my mom's party, and yeah.
So, you know, both of you seemed to have parents that were entrepreneurs and have businesses, and how much of an influence has that been on, you know, getting to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I think my dad has always been tinkering. So in terms of what created us as entrepreneurs, my dad being a tinkerer, he's always been building things, working on new things, and so it was always just sort of natural to want to create things. So for me, it's really the creation side, and I think, you know, it's what is it?
I just always grew up in a house of entrepreneurs, and it was just how my parents raised us. Like, they just, both of them kind of have the personality of wanting to just do what they want to do, and, you know, and being able to work for themselves and have kind of control over their destiny. So so that's just how we were raised. Most of my family works in our family business. I'm the only one that doesn't. So I kind of branched out, and I worked in the corporate world for a long time before this, and learned a lot and kind of figured out, you know, that I wanted, kind of learned what I could from there and then figured out that I wanted to do something on my own. And then meeting Todd was kind of this interesting, like, blending of personalities and skill sets that, and strangely, like, I think from like 6 months into our relationship, we started running companies together. Starting companies together.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. We had babies at the same time and everything. Yeah. So it's just, we always are kind of thinking about what we want to do next. It's just kind of part of our, like, more, you know, our household conversation. Yeah. It's just kind of a natural part of our lives.
So you want to walk us through how the idea for Call Tracking Metrics and how that all, how that's come mm-hmm. about?
Yeah, I think so we kind of, in many ways, we fell into call tracking metrics. So we were consulting. So we were building websites for people, and we were trying to run their AdWords campaigns for them. A handful of them insisted that, you know, telephone calls was the only way that we could measure the impact of the AdWords campaigns. So it was very obvious that we needed to come up with some kind of solution. At the same time, there were some interesting APIs that were emerging that would allow us to implement phone systems and do the kind of tracking we needed to do. Also, I think on the same side, it was I was not very happy doing consulting. For me, it was very, very difficult to jump from one project to the next and not have that sort of a consistency. So building a stable service where we could just iterate on that one service and make it better every day has really been a driving force ever since. You know, it was something that was really hard for us to get to. I feel like there were 2 years there where it was really, really hard. And once we kind of broke through that, then it was still really hard because this platform we had created was not paying the bills, just barely inking by. And then I think it took, you know, some really big deals that Lori was able to close that brought us to the point where you what did you tell me? You said, hey, I think we can do this full time now.
When was that?
I want to say,
what was the turning? So the deals and the turning point, and where you thought, yeah, this is something we can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. What was happening is, you know, Todd had a day job, and so we would basically work at night on the business.
Yep.
And so it was really exhausting.
Yeah.
And then it just got to the point where we had enough customers that, you know, that it displaced his income. So he was able to stop doing that. And we, I think we were both kind of saw the potential there that, you know, this is, there is something here, and it's worth it, and it's worth the risk to break out of what he was doing.
Yeah.
And just focus exclusively on this.
You know, it's funny because I read the Inc. 5000 interview, and something that resonates is it, and what you just said about, you know, your customers saying that, you know, phone calls are, well, you got to track phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in this day and age, you would think people say, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, you need to, you know, web stuff and,
right,
and internet tracking.
Right.
And so it seems like listening to your customers is a theme that you guys are doing, and how,
yeah,
you know, maybe expand on that. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I can speak to that. So we, you know, we spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time in the basement, and I think one of the things that helped me a lot was learning from Lori about how to just interact with people from a business standpoint, and then actually just taking as many calls as I possibly could, and listening to a customer's need, and going from being a developer who just thought I knew what I was doing to listening to other people's needs and focusing on providing solutions to those needs. And just simply put, like, you know, again, because it's a single platform, every little need that we could solve became a multiplier. So one solution for one customer could become a solution for thousands of customers. And that was the beauty to me in maybe not doing consulting, but doing which I think the right kind of consultant, now I understand, the right kind of consulting, you could do exactly the same thing, right? There's still the same multiplier effect there. It's just as an engineer, for me, I can imbue that in a product that we offer to a multitude of people in a mechanism that is easy for me to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, implement some software, solves a particular problem, and that need, or that problem can be solving, or, yeah, that can solve for lots of problems across lots of different people.
And it's interesting because I think about, you know, that kind of theme around how much Todd and I learned just kind of just by being forced to being the only ones interacting with customers for so long, and how the phone played a critical part in that, and thinking about all the different ways our customers come to us and ask us, you know, tell us how they need to be using the phone for their own businesses. And you're right, like you would think that the phone is of diminishing importance in terms of how people are interacting and engaging with customers. But what they found is it's still the best way. And that it's, you know, all the things that they come to us about is all about how do I engage with people more effectively, faster? How do I know more about them before I even get on the phone so that I can be prepared to answer their questions? So it's all the kind of stuff that Todd and I had to figure out also as we were starting this business. All of a sudden, what I really like about it is I get it. Like when people come to us and they say, I need this for my business, I understand. Right. I'm like, you're right. We need this for our business.
We need it for our business.
So there's always, I there's a lot of parallels.
So want to, you know, talk about the company and Call Tracking Metrics and the culture, and it's, you know, it seems like you've got been awarded many recognition for culture. So can you describe the culture of the company and how you keep it going and how you will protect it in the future?
Do you know yours?
I think that in our
industry. In the technology industry, there's certain kind of stereotypes that people have about technology companies. And for me, you know, I haven't worked at a high technology company before, but I've worked at, you know, venture capital based companies, fast growth companies, you know, companies that have had a lot of funding and have grown very rapidly. And you see founders who have all of a sudden, you know, they're in charge of managing thousands of people and it's, you know, happening overnight and there's all these people involved in the business. And so for us, we've had to think about, you know, how do we want to grow this? And for us, we want to grow it in a way that we can handle it. You know, that Todd and I don't have to ever feel like the business is out of our hands, that we no longer can manage it or, you know, can understand it. Yeah. And for me, coming from a family that always had family-owned businesses, I like to try to bring some of that into the technology world, and some of the aspects of a family business, a culture. And we think of all of our employees as family. You know, I'd love for this company to be around a long time from now. You go out and talk to a lot of founders of tech companies, that's not their plan. They are all about the exit strategy.
Exactly. Which is kind of scary.
Yeah, but I get it, right? Yeah. It's just kind of a different way of thinking. But we'd like to see this company be around 100 years from now.
But how do you manage? I mean, 1,700% growth in 3 years is, you know, it's like drinking from a fire.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that?
It's incredible. It is good growth. I look at it though, and I always say we are slow and steady. You know, we may be perceived to be growing fast, but I mean, I look at similar tech companies, and I think, well, you know, okay, there's, you know, comparing us to like I'm not going to say somebody's name, you know, like an Uber or something, right? Which is explosive. That's, to me, is the explosive growth. Where to me, I'm like, well, that's just so fast, so out of the ballpark. And I'm like, I think. You know, and we're not even over 50 people, right? We're still a very small company, where we maybe, you know, our customer base has grown, revenues have grown, but I think it's all about kind of controlling the growth in such a way that it's manageable, so that we never really lose control over our day-to-day operation. We never are overwhelmed and can't provide good quality service to an end user. I think that's been our focus. And, you know, have we maybe put the brakes in certain places? I think we have. It's probably not perceived that way, but, you know, we've definitely, I think, held back in some areas simply because we feel that we're not ready for that next move.
Yeah, and it also, as I think about every person that we hire, I think about, is this person a good fit right now for what we need? But more importantly, is this person a good fit for 5 to 10 years now down the road, what we need? Like, I want to hire people that, every single person that we hire, I want to be bringing something to the table that we don't have right now. Because even though I might not have this really cool management executive job for them right now, I will.
Yes.
And so I want to figure out ways of, in our culture, to, you know, engage those type of people to get them excited about it and to make them see their path here. Because I really want it to be a place that people can work for a long time.
And what's special, other than that, what are some of the special things about working here?
I think I try to make sure everyone feels that they are empowered to make decisions. You know, I think that, you know, we are such a small team Every single one of us is critical to, you know, just keeping the day-to-day operations alive, making that immediate decision around how to handle a customer, how to handle a sale, how to implement a new feature, making good judgment calls. And I feel that that's part of what Lori's saying, is hiring folks who can make these good decisions in the moment. I think that's, is that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds great. So how do you guys divide, I know your scale and you're creative, but how does the decision-making process work? Do one of you probably back down? How does the decision making process go?
It's funny. We've always have this kind of natural. We are just fundamentally kind of interested in different things.
Yes.
Doing different things on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So we never really
we don't
really
collide.
We don't really run into situations where we both are. I mean, the nice thing is it. You know, it's something about owning a business with your spouse. You know, you come home at night, and I feel like we kind of do a lot of our kind of strategy planning at night, you know, when it's just us kind of talking about it. And our poor children, like, are always like, what are you talking about? What do you need? So we try to, you know, whenever we're here, not be at odds with each other and try to figure that stuff off, you know, figure it out off the camera, you know, away from the rest of the staff. But I know that I can't do what Todd does, and I think he probably knows
I know,
he knows
I can't
what I
do what you do.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of times where I feel like, you know, if it's a good idea, then when I explain it to Laurie, she's not going to tell me that's, you know, she's not going to be like, it doesn't make any sense. We need to focus on, you know, but if it's a good idea and it kind of like, I say, hey, Laurie, what do you think of this? And she's like, oh yeah, that's totally obvious, you know, or Laurie's using part of the product and she's like, this is so annoying. You know, then it's sort of that is the, you know, the how we evolve, right? I mean, you're like, hey, we need to do this, this, and this, and I'm like, okay. Sometimes it's, well, that's not possible right now, right? And so we kind of, you know, just kind of exchange notes on what we'd like to do, what, you know, and then sort of balance that with what we can do, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's some of that, and then mm-hmm. sometimes we get together and we're like, well, this just needs to happen. It really doesn't matter how hard it is, and we just do it.
So what did it mean to the company to be named as one of the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies?
I think
things that came along with that.
I mean, it was, I think it, you know, definitely gave us credibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were very busy as a result. We had, more web traffic than ever, and, you know, a lot of inbound leads coming in. A lot of... Also, just kind of congratulations from people that customers that we've had for a long time that you know they were very excited for us.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of our customers who have been customers for a while, they've worked direct, you know, personally with Todd and I.
Oh yeah,
so they were very excited about it. You know, I think it's now how do we stay on that path,
exactly.
Right? How do we keep growing at that rate and not let things get out
of
control?
We don't want to plateau. Yeah, we're not plateauing anytime mm-hmm. soon.
So yeah. What are your expectations for the future, and how do you keep it going?
I mean, one of the things that, so my background is, I have a finance background, and so a lot of what I do is probably kind of unusual for a company of our size. I get very focused on the numbers, and I try to also bring that to everyone in the company as well, so that at any given time, anyone here can know exactly what our revenue is, they can know exactly what our growth rate is over last year, over prior quarter. I want everybody to feel ownership and have a lot of visibility around that. So we look very closely at those numbers, and we map out goals every quarter, every year, and to figure out, you know, what do we think we can accomplish next year way ahead of time. And we, you know, we grew at a very fast growth rate this year. We expect to do it next year.
Yep.
I think it's just a combination of the work that Todd and his team are doing around just keeping the product ahead of the curve.
Yep.
You know, this space is growing so quickly.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
so much opportunity here as the way that people think about interacting with the phone system is just changing. You no longer need like a legacy phone provider in your
right.
office.
Right.
People come into our office and they're like, where are your phones?
We
you don't have any phones on your desk.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't need that.
Yeah.
And big companies are realizing that they, you know, they don't need these massively expensive and complicated phone systems. And so it's just a matter of how do we position ourselves in that space. And the interesting thing is as well, is companies are getting much more open-minded about handing their phone system over to a company like us. Yep. It used to be, you know, you only go with a big guy. You know, you talk to AT&T or Cisco or somebody like that. But there's much more kind of innovation. People want the innovative solutions that maybe are these kind of different cloud-based companies like us.
Yep.
So there's just a lot of opportunity, a lot of features we need to develop.
A lot of features, yep.
And a lot of hiring we need to do. I mean, one of the hardest things that I get stressed out about is hiring people, and especially where we're based. You know, we don't sit in like the tech capital of the world, you know?
Yeah.
But we kind of like that. We like that we could potentially bring, you know, technology talent to this area. I think there's a lot going on in Baltimore. There's always stuff going on in DC that's interesting. And just being able to draw talent, you know, that we need, particularly on the engineering side, is always something we have to think about.
Yes.
Well, that transparency is another culture building thing. You know, that I think that's, it builds trust. You know, which would be, saying that, and that, but that's another good culture thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's all, as we think about hiring, you can contrast us with your typical tech companies. A lot of times, especially when you talk to engineers, one of their first questions is, well, how many stock options do I get? Right? And because that's just what that's their comp package at a lot of startups, because, you know, a lot of startups don't have a lot of money to pay them.
Right.
So we try, you know, we run a profitable company. It's always been a very big priority for us.
Yep.
And we try to compensate our employees very well. And give them a share of those profits every year.
Yeah. So it's not like an IOU that's pending on, you know, all this hope and maybe,
mm-hmm.
but it's real. You know, every year we hit our targets. We, you know, there's growth. There's mm-hmm. money to be had. There's money to be made. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you don't have a climbing wall, ping pong table.
No.
No, I know.
I guess, you know, like it is a place of work. So, you know, it's like, it would be fun maybe to have these things someday, maybe. I don't know. I think for me, as soon as we had kids, I started to come to work to get work done. But, yeah.
So here's the money question. So what is the relationship of Opik Kerman meant to you and your business?
Oh.
Hmm.
It's a testimonial.
It's been immensely helpful for me. I mean, I look at them as kind of like an extension of our staff. And as we grow quickly, there's so many things that we come across that we've never had to deal with before. Sometimes people say to me, why would you go to an attorney about that? Just try to figure it out yourself or Google it, you know?
Right.
But I would so much rather, we have a lot at stake here. There's mm-hmm. a lot on the line. And I'd so much rather make sure that we're doing things the right way the first time. You know, they've helped me with all of our HR, you know, handbooks, all of our documents. Anytime there's kind of some kind of strange HR situation that comes up, anytime we have to think through compensation for employees, or as we start to get more and more into IP, you know, the protection of our intellectual property, it's, you know, there's a lot at stake there as well, and you can really make a lot of mistakes. So Opik Kerman's been really helpful for us kind of navigating and figuring that out.
Yeah. And I would just add trust. I mean, mm-hmm. I've always felt that we can trust you guys. Mm-hmm. It's always been a relationship where I feel like if we are in doubt, we can trust that we'll get, you know, the right advice from Opik Kerman. I mean, it's an easy thing for us to feel. So yeah.
Awesome. So So with your parents being entrepreneurs, what do they think of your success and where you're at? Have you validated yourself not going to the family business?
I think so.
I don't know.
What
yeah.
do you think?
I think so. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because actually our families are customers of ours as well.
That's right.
Which is interesting because we get a lot of feedback from them about our product.
Yeah.
And it's great because they're, you know, my dad's gutter business uses our phone system.
Right.
Right? And so if there's something wrong, I hear from them very quickly about it.
Yeah.
But no, I think they're very proud of us and excited.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Is there a particular vertical where you've seen more traction and more opportunity than others?
Yeah, I mean, it's you think about industries where phone calls are really even more critical than kind of, you know, every other business. So traditionally it was kind of the big ticket items. So traditionally it was like cars, trips, cruises, things where people are spending a lot of money on and want to do a lot of research. But now increasingly what we're seeing is the healthcare area is really, really big.
It's exploding.
There's a lot more people that have healthcare coverage. There's a lot more people kind of seeking out coverage in different areas. There's just a lot more kind of openness, particularly as you think about like the addiction and recovery space. Mm-hmm. A lot more people have issues that they want to get help with. So that space in particular is one where it's all about a phone call, right? Because if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're having some kind of, you know, drug problem, you're not going to fill out a form for help.
That's
you're
right.
going to make a phone call and you need help right now, right? And you need to be routed to the right place, to the right person. So those kind of mission, like it's live or die situations are the ones that are very kind of perfect for us.
And do you see an age group difference or where there's more opportunity in one age group versus another age group?
You know, it's interesting because we thought that it was going to be more of the kind of older
generation
that would
so.
Be more likely to call, but we actually are, you know,
I think even the younger ones, I mean, you look at the type of calls we're getting, right? People pick up the phone when something's broken, or they pick up the phone when they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pick up the phone and if they don't get you, you know, then they're doing things online that you don't want them doing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I mean, how many people do you think you would be hiring? You know, that's another question. Like, for, you know, growth in Silverado Park,
I
want Silverado Park to really recognize the opportunity that they have
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah, there's not a lot of big companies here.
No.
So, it'll be a question of how long can we stay here,
right?
How long can we really grow at the rate we need to?
Office buildings availability.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this building has room for us to mm-hmm. grow. I think. I could imagine us getting to at least 50 people here,
mm-hmm.
but I imagine that we may very quickly decide we need to like have an office in Annapolis probably mm-hmm. or something,
or Baltimore.
You know, or Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what about another place in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's possible that we just say, hey, let's find like Crofton. We have a lot of people in Crofton,
mm-hmm.
so maybe, you know, I don't know, we'll cross these bridges
yeah.
when they come.
Sure.
It's, future.
We purposely picked this building because there's a lot of room for us to expand at least
yeah.
in the next couple of years.
Yeah, we were a little bummed when that space over across the hall got taken, but
yeah.
Well, with enough leverage and scale, you could kick anybody out. I'm sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Enough money.
Well, the building I think is for sale. It's like
we could buy the building. That's true. The building is for sale. That's right. This is true.
They are probably more viable, yeah.
Yeah.
This has been ExecuViews, brought to you by Offit Kerman Attorneys at Law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your story, visit us on the web at execuviews.com.